San Diego State University has suspended all 14 fraternities on its campus after a student died there last week. Dylan Hernandez was 19 years old. He was pledging Phi Gamma Delta. The cause of his death has not been confirmed, but his roommate found him unresponsive in his dorm room the morning after a frat event. With me now to talk about drinking and frat life and why these deaths keep happening is John Hechinger, author of the book True Gentlemen, The Broken Pledge of America's Fraternities. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Well, what does the suspension mean for fraternities?
Well, this is something that's become almost as inevitable as the fall, that each year we have another one of these hazing deaths. Sometimes there are several a year. And usually what it means is that for this chapter, it will be shut down probably by the national organization as well as the university for at least 4 years so that all the members who were involved in this incident can no longer join. And perhaps there'll be some kind of sanction for the other fraternities, but pretty soon they'll pretty much be back in business.
And just to be clear, we don't know the cause of death. We don't know it as a result of hazing yet, but from what you can assess, it looks like it might be.
Well, it looks like it was either the result of some excessive drinking or hazing or a combination of the two. And unfortunately, the fraternities tend to be the place where the heaviest drinking happens on campus. Of course, we don't know all the details yet, but that's a fairly strong assumption at this point.
And you say that these incidents, tragic incidents, happen every fall. Is that because this is when fraternities are rushing new students?
The most dangerous time is the sort of rush and the pledging, which is essentially an institutionalized hazing. So you have freshmen, you know, young students away from home from the first time. They're desperate to join, to be part of a group, and they'll often do what upperclassmen say. And so a number of schools have tried to postpone the pledging till second semester or even till sophomore year as a way to keep the youngest students safe.
Now, a lot of these fraternities are off campus. I think this one was. And so does that really make the university immune from any kind of responsibility for this?
Well, I think that as long as they're recognized by the university, they're student organizations, and you know they're essentially regulated by the university. The big issue now for schools is if they take the harshest consequence and sort of kick a chapter, will the national organization back them? And will the fraternity actually cease to exist, or will it be some kind of rogue underground fraternity off campus? And that's really the worst situation. So the universities are definitely a difficult spot when it comes to this.
It's difficult because then nobody is overseeing them at all.
That's right. I mean, the fraternities want the recognition. They get support from the university. It's easier to recruit. It's important for them in terms of getting insurance on the chapters. So they want the recognition, and you know, the most leverage that the university has is when these are actually recognized organizations.
So why do these rituals still exist? I mean, hazing, excessive drinking, can't fraternities exist without these kinds of rituals?
Well, I mean, that's such a good question. A number of national organizations have tried, for instance, to eliminate pledging altogether. Pledging is essentially when you have a member who has provisional status and is most vulnerable to this kind of abuse. And there have been a number of national organizations that have sort of said that you have to choose your members and they immediately become full members. And there's some evidence that will lessen the amount of hazing because they can't really kind of hold this provisional status over them. But most these other organizations are so hidebound and so into this kind of kind of macho culture that they feel like they cannot be respected unless all of their members are put through the gauntlet. That's why this continues to exist.
And the gauntlet generally includes a lot of alcohol.
That's right. The best research I saw says that something like 3/4 of fraternity men say they've been hazed, and the most common and most dangerous form of hazing is excessive drinking, which is often drinking to the point of unconsciousness. And that's where we see the lion's share of the deaths each year.
Right. So deaths and the kinds of deaths resulting from drinking are like what kinds of deaths? Like falling off buildings hitting
Well,
your
there have been
head.
cases like that. The most common cause of death is alcohol poisoning. So you have, you ask people with very low tolerance to drink a whole fifth of alcohol, within an hour, and then people kind of leave them there. They say, well, they fell asleep, there's nothing wrong, or they're afraid to call an ambulance, and often then they're found the next morning and they've either already died or they can't be revived. That happens very, very often. And that's part of the problem is this sort of underground drinking culture and this, refusal to call an ambulance. We don't know what happened in this case, but certainly that's what happened at Penn State and other colleges.
And people don't want to call an ambulance because they don't want to get into trouble.
That's right. That's right. I mean, often what you find and is that there have been a series of more minor infractions before something like this happens. So, parties are busted for underage drinking, or there are reports of injuries or sort of, noise complaints, and the fraternities get kind of a slap on the wrist from the campus police or the local police, and that just kind of emboldens fraternities to keep going until something terrible happens. And what a lot of families who've lost children in hazing are calling for are much, much tougher penalties, particularly for hazing, which can often be a misdemeanor. And we're seeing some states, such as Pennsylvania, make these into the crimes they really are.
So make them felonies, in other words.
That's right.
But also the drinking, if the university has some responsibility, these are underage kids by and large drinking, that's not legal.
That's right. That's right. And what fraternities will sometimes say is, well, there's a lot of drinking on campus in general. But what they don't like to acknowledge is that every survey, and these are sort of the finest surveys that have gone on for decades, show that the heaviest drinkers on campus are members of fraternities. So if you want to attack the culture of drinking on university, you have to start at the Greek houses. That's where most of the action is. And if we look at this as a public health problem, which it is, universities really have to take action.
John Hechinger, he wrote the book True Gentlemen, The Broken Pledge of America's Fraternities, senior editor at Bloomberg. John, thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up, can you believe it? Big Bird is middle-aged. Sesame Street is 50 years old this year. It broke ground on children's programming.
To have a kids show that was focused on an urban setting with a multiracial cast, it was just a more real environment for children who lived in a very sort of real environment.
How the show takes on serious issues like homelessness and racism to help kids, that's next on Press Play.